Chapter 6. It felt very strange to have this feeling, whatever this feeling was. Claire had never experienced it before. The yearning she had to be with the new child, remembering his face, how the solemn light eyes had stared at her, the way his hair curved around the top of his head and lifted into a curl there, the wrinkling of his forehead and his quivering chin before he began to cry. Each family unit was allotted 2 children, one of each gender, and she had been the younger. They had waited several years after receiving Peter before they had applied for their girl. So Claire had never known an infant or a small child well. She asked her co-workers, trying to make it a casual question at the evening meal. Do any of you remember getting your sibling?
Sure, Rolf said. I was 8 when we got my sister.
I was older, Edith said. My parents waited quite a long time before they applied for my brother. I think I was 11.
I was the 2nd child in my family, Eric said. Anyone want that last piece of bread?
They all shook their heads, and Eric took the last slice from the serving plate.
My sister was only 3 when they got me. I think my mother actually liked little children.
He made a face as if the idea mystified him.
That's what I was wondering about, actually, Claire explained. Is it, well, usual for people to become really fond of new children?
Depends what you mean by fond, Dimitri said.
The head of the entire hatchery operation, Dimitri was an upper-level worker. He was older and had studied science intensively.
But you know, of course, that infants of any species...
He stopped and looked at the rest of them at their blank expressions.
Didn't you study this in evolutionary biology? He asked.
Finally, at the silence, he chuckled.
All right, so you don't know. I'll explain. Infants are born with big, wide-spaced eyes, generally, and large heads, because that makes them look appealing to the adults of the species. So it ensures that they will be fed and cared for, because they look...
Cute? Edith interrupted.
Right, cute. If they were born ugly, no one would want to pick them up or smile at them or talk to them. They wouldn't get fed. They wouldn't learn to smile or talk. They might not survive if they didn't appeal to the adults.
What do you mean by any species? Eric asked.
Well, we don't have mammals anymore because a healthy diet didn't include mammal, and they detracted from the efficiency of the community. But in other areas, there are wild creatures of all sorts. And even here, people once had things they called pets, usually small things, dogs or cats. It was the same in those species. The newborns were, well, cute, big eyes usually. Animals don't smile, though. That's a skill unique to humans.
Claire was fascinated. What did people do with pets? Dimitri shrugged.
Played with them, I think. And also pets provided company for lonely people. We don't have those now, of course.
Nobody's lonely here, Edith agreed.
Claire was quiet. She didn't say this, but she was thinking, I am. I am lonely. Even as she thought it, though, she realized she didn't really know what the term meant. The first buzzer sounded, meaning time to finish up. They began to stack their trays.
Rolf, Edith, Claire asked. When you got your siblings and they were infants with big eyes and big heads, and so they were cute,
both of her co-workers shrugged.
I guess, Edith said.
Did you think about them all the time and want to hold them and not ever leave them?
They looked at Claire as if she had said something preposterous or unintelligible. She hastened to rephrase her question.
Or maybe I meant your mothers. Did your mothers cuddle your siblings and rock them and, well...
My mother worked, just like every other mother. She took very competent care of my sister, of course, and she took her to the child care center every day, Rolf said. She wasn't a cuddler, though, not my mother.
Same with my mother and my brother, Edith said. My father and I helped her to take care of him, but both of my parents had very demanding jobs, and I had school, of course, and then my training. We were all happy to drop him off every day at the center. We took great pride in him, of course. He was a very intelligent infant, she added primly. He's studying computer science now.
The final buzzer sounded, and they all rose to go back to work.
I must put 36 out of my mind, Claire told herself.
But she found it impossible.
Each day, at her microscope, examining the embryonic salmon for flaws in their structure, Claire looked at the large dark spots that were their primitive, unformed eyes. She imagined that they were gazing at her. It was clearly impossible. Those murky, glistening orbs were not capable of vision, not yet, and there was no intelligence within the quivering blob, nothing that craved affection or even attention. But she found herself reminded again and again of the pale, long-lashed eyes that had looked up at her briefly, and of the small fingers that had encircled her thumb. She began to dream of 36. In one dream, she wore the leather mask again, but they had handed her something to hold. It moved, tentatively in her arms, and she clasped it tightly, knowing it was he, not wanting them to take him away, weeping behind the mask when they did. In another recurrent dream, 36 was here with her, in her small room at the hatchery, but no one knew. She kept him hidden in a drawer, and opened it from time to time. He would look up and smile at her. Secrecy was forbidden in the community, and the dream of the hidden new child caused her to wake with a feeling of guilt and dread. But a stronger feeling was the one that had stayed with her after that dream. The excitement of opening the drawer and seeing that he was still there, that he was safe and smiling. As children within the family unit, they had been required to tell their dreams each morning. For single working members of the community, like those at the hatchery, the requirement was set aside. Occasionally at the morning meal, one of the workers would recount an amusing dream, but there was none of the discussion that had been part of the family ritual, and Claire kept her new dreams private. But she felt restless now, and different, in ways she didn't understand. In keeping with the demands of her new job and its meticulousness, its constant analyzing, she tried to examine her own feelings. She had never done so before, had never needed to. For Claire's entire life, her feelings had been those of, what? She searched in her mind for the right descriptive word. Contentment. Yes, she had always been content. Everyone was in the community. Their needs were tended to. There was nothing they lacked, nothing they... That was it, Claire realized. She had never yearned for anything before. But now, ever since the day of the birth, she felt a yearning constantly, desperately, to fill the emptiness inside her. She wanted her child. Time passed. It became mid-November. She was busy with her work, but finally, she found a time to return to the nurturing center.